here we go.
All right.
I am hot on this 4th of July parade. I'm buying these costumes. Diving into the news! By the way, we have to win the thing, too. So the judges, if you're listening and you're out there, a little something-something coming your way, if you know what I mean. A little something on the down low, Jacob, you know what I mean? Jacob's going to be the bag man for this.
Oh, right. You're asking for drums and such?
No. Just saying, for the people that are going to be judging the in Edmonds, when we come by, we, you know, make sure the scorecard goes a little up and get a little something on the side.
Yeah, right? You did send me a photo of the dollars that I will be reimbursed. It does look like there's a little more there. Maybe I can grease some palms.
You don't get all yet. That's right, a little something. But to keep that on the down low. Supreme Court rules for a cheerleader punished by vulgar Snapchat. So something happened to her tum that was she kicked off the team or wasn't allowed on the team, and then she Snapchatted out. No,
she was a junior. Trying out for the senior cheerleading squad, and she didn't make the cut. She could still be a junior cheerleader, but when she expressed her disappointment with a lot of F words.
Yeah, that's the same thing we're going to do if we don't win that 4th of July parade thing. But apparently it's protected. The question is that she did it outside of school. She was not on the campus. She did it with her friends or whatever, sent it out. A lot of people saw it, shared it, and then the school said you can't do that. The question is, does your First Amendment right extend beyond the schoolyard? And this thing gets heard in a Pennsylvania court and then goes all the way to the Supreme Court. And what did they say, Tommy?
Well, they decided to, like every Supreme Court, it feels like, does this. They decided to come up with the narrowest of narrow interpretations. Uh-huh. So the Circuit Court of Appeals said that, you know, as long as you're off campus, you can't be held, you know, the school has no power over you if you didn't say it on campus. That's what the 2-1 appeals court ruling was. Yeah. They did not go. The Supreme Court said, you know what? She does have the right, but we're not going to go that far. We're not trying to create a precedent, because they could imagine where somebody said something off campus that would be so disruptive to the workings inside the school that it would indeed, merit school attention. Uh-huh. So all they did was they said, in this particular case, she didn't name the school. She didn't name any individual at the school. She didn't go after the cheerleading judges or the teacher or the principal. She just said, F this is, you know, school and, you know, cheerleading and everything. Yes. And they said that they could not establish any real harm done to the school. This is a 14-year-old girl expressing her frustration with no disruptive, no threat of disruption at the school, sent on a Snapchat to only her 250 contacts. So, and with Snapchat, it was designed to go away, except somebody took a screenshot of it and gave it to the mother, who was the head of the cheerleading squad, who then, you know, kicked her off. And so
Clarence Thomas was the only dissent. I think he said
that's right.
She's a member of this team, that her actions could cause problems for the team, could cause problems for the school. So therefore, what she said could affect the sort of daily, everyday sort of going on at the school.
See, the heart of what his argument against it, so it was 8-1. We've had a remarkable string of Supreme Court, as divided as the Supreme Court is in a 6-3 conservative liberal bent. We've had a 9-0 ruling, a 7-2 ruling, and now this is an 8-1 ruling.
That's right.
And what he said in this particular case, I think the heart of what his objection was, that social media, to think that she could say something off campus on social media, to think that the social media doesn't reach into the very heart of school campus life is fudging it a bit. In other words, he thought the school did have the right. He says it's not like she said this in her bedroom to 16, you know, close girlfriends.
Right.
She said it on social media, which means that now it was limited to 250 people, but that might be seeming much. He thinks that eventually we'll have to make a decision about what the role of social media is vis-a-vis school grounds. And he says It's everywhere. We're going to have to face that at some point. Anyway, fascinating issue, I think, all the way around.
Yes, the Supreme Court might, again, get a chance to talk to Jack Phillips, the baker from Colorado, because it was 2017. They said, you know what, Mr. Phillips, it looks like the commission there in Colorado was aggressive and intolerant of your religion, so they ruled that way. The question comes up, does a religious baker, deeply religious baker, have to make a cake and promote a message that he does not agree with in the practice of his religion? So they didn't really get a chance. Like you said before, Tom, they narrowed most of these opinions. Mm-hmm. They narrowed this one in 2017. But as soon as they said they would hear the case, the phone rang there at Masterpiece Bakery. And it was an attorney on the other end saying, if they hear your case, then I'm going to have you bake a cake. So sure enough, they have the case. So this person who identifies as a female, Autumn Scadrino or something like that, calls up and says, Jack, will you bake a cake that has blue on the Scardina. Outside, pink on the – or is it the other way around? Was it,
yeah, Scardina. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Blue on the outside, pink on the
pink
inside.
Pink on the inside. And he said, yeah, I can do that. And then at that point, the attorney said, good. Okay, then I want this. This is going to be my transition cake. And then at that point, he said, I won't make that. Because I don't agree with that. As a Christian, I see the human body. And he basically explained his religion to her. And at that point, well, bang, good. I'm going to sue you. So now the lawsuit comes back up again. And Jack gets an opportunity to defend his religious beliefs.
So, and the ruling, and this is a lower court ruling, a court in Colorado ruled that this was was an anti-discrimination decision on his part, that he is offering a service. And I wonder, you know, John, the problem is with these cases, we don't have all of the details. The closer I looked at this, I wonder if his argument didn't have religious basis. It was just his own I don't know what political opinion against the transgender notion. I saw that he argued that same-sex marriage went against his religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the commission decided that that didn't matter showed to the Supreme Court what hostility to religious matters that commission had. And yeah. So they ruled on that. This time out, I don't see that there was any kind of commission that ruled that this was based, that his decision was based on religion.
He says that the human body and God doesn't make mistakes, that people are not trapped. He doesn't believe in transitioning. He doesn't believe in any way of changing your body, taking hormones to try to be something other than you are. He sees the creation of the body by God to be sacred, and therefore you don't start messing around with
it. Okay, so he is cloaking himself in religion again. So then...
No, I don't think he's cloaking it. I think this is what he firmly believes as a Christian. So I don't know what he's cloaking... this comes from his heart. The question I have is what's wrong with this attorney?
Which attorney?
The one that's suing him again. Why not just find somebody else? Why does she need to bow? Why does she need this guy to break to her?
So I think it's not him individually. I think in all these cases, and this goes on every side of the political ledger, you try to find a test case.
Uh-huh.
And what you want to do is you want to establish, you want to get on the books. Okay, like Colorado has passed this anti-discrimination law that you cannot discriminate against trans people. And if you find a test case for this helps clarify. And the thing is, I'm sure that this person who is, I think the attorney herself is trans, who brought the case.
Yeah, right.
She's not the one arguing, but she's one of the key here is that this is a test case to determine how far this anti-discrimination can go. And so I think this is going to be one of those test cases where you establish it. Unlike the last time you think the Supreme Court would handle it, they said, no, we're not deciding whether or not he has to make this cake. We're only deciding that at this point, the decision isn't even, whether he has the right to or not isn't even relevant because you commissioned Foundation found had an undue hostility to religion.
Right.
And so, yeah, my question then is, so that was determined in Colorado. The Colorado judges, are they taking into account that ruling? And then how is it not the same kind of thing? And so I was wondering if maybe, because I don't see any commission argument about it's too hostile to religion,
right,
if that's an issue or not. And I just don't know.
In this case, Jack will say to you, I'll make a cake for anybody. You're gay, straight, whatever you are. I'll make you a cake. I just won't make you a cake that has a message that I am firmly against. So don't ask me to make something. He sees his cake as not utilitarian, you know, eggs and butter and things like that. But
yeah,
that he has to, it's compelled speech. Very similar to go someplace to a Jewish bakery and have the guy, you know, make a KKK cake or something like that. There was one guy that wanted to test it. He said, okay, I'm going to get a cake and I'm going to make the gay baker make a cake that looks like a Bible. It says homosexuality is a sin. The court threw that out and said, no, because you're not really affected by it because you're not sort of a protected class. In this case, this attorney, Autumn, whatever the person's name is, goes after specifically at this guy. It's not trying to create a a test case kind of thing. It's not 1965 where the black customer goes and sues the hotel in order for the greater purpose of being able to say, listen, all hotels should accommodate everyone. This person is so vindictive. And once this guy, because she could go across the street, she could go anywhere. She's specifically looking for somebody to get somebody to be able to entrap this guy, to be able to say, you have to bow to me. And what you believe as a Christian doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you make my cake. And I'll use the force and the will of the government to have you compelled speech to do something that I want you to do, even though you clearly won't. Why does the person go somewhere else and have the cake made across the street?
Okay. Well, I mean, I've already answered that question. I do think it's a test case. I do think
that
she's
trying to... What's the case,
though?
What are you testing, Tom?
You're trying to establish precedent that these anti-discrimination laws
He's not discriminating against her. It's not discrimination against the person.
Okay.
It is discrimination against an idea. He doesn't want to have to make something.
Okay.
Tom, if I came to you and you're a writer and I said, Tom, I need you to write a story for me. And you're Jewish. Write a story that says the Holocaust never happened and all Jews are dirty pigs. And I want this all in this book. Now, you must write this for me because I'm at. And you say, no, I won't write that. Well, why not? Why won't you write that? You said that you are a writer. You're hanging up a sign out front that says you accommodate accommodations, you must write that for me.
Okay.
What's the difference?
And so the difference is that's not how writing works. But anyway,
art. Okay, fine. I'll go to an artist. I want you to make something that shows this or shows that. And the person holds deeply religious beliefs, right?
No.
It's the same thing. It's compelled speech for art, Tom. You're not recognizing the guy's religion.
I get your point. My point about the writing and the art is that that's you're not a hired gun. If you're a hired gun, then you're a hired gun. Art people to write, and they don't put a shingle up and say, I will write anything you want me to write. If they do, then I think the person would have to write it. This is, and I don't know how this finally got resolved in this state, because I think we took them to court. If you are offering services, you can't decide, oh, well, I don't like black people, or I don't like Christians, or I don't like homosexuals, and so I'm only going to offer these services if I'm a plumber to people that think like I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's discrimination.
Yes.
And so that's the kind of test case. If you're offering a service in the public, you can't force somebody to make you a cake. But if you put your shingle up and say, I'm a cake maker, I will take orders, then you have to do that. Otherwise, it shows that you're discriminatory. Then the question can become, where do your religious values versus the offering a commercial service clash? And that's what we're resolving as a society.
It clashes when this guy, Jack, says, I make cakes and my cakes are unique and I reserve the right. I don't want to promote a message that offends my religion.
Yeah. And
so
is that part of cake
making?
Therefore,
I won't make
you
that cake. if you tell me you're specifically wanting a cake with blue on the outside and pink on the inside, I'll do that for you. But then this
unbelievably
vindictive person who wants to not necessarily, you know, show discrimination, because we've already determined that he will make a cake for anybody. He doesn't care what you are.
No, he won't.
No. He said he has gay clients. He's got this client. It's not that. It's the same thing as like the woman, the florist in Eastern Washington.
That's
right. She
has
all sorts of, but I will not produce something something that I don't want to be a party of because it offends my religion. The idea that the government can force forced speech, this guy, hopefully this goes to the Supreme Court. And unfortunately for him, it's going to cost him more money, although he probably gets the thing covered for
him.
But that person needs some serious help. I know, but that woman, that attorney needs some serious, serious mental help. Why not go somewhere else? Why does she continue to fight?
Okay.
But now, Tom, you don't recognize the creation that he makes as unique. You don't see it as art.
I'm not
right?
even making that decision. I'm saying that in terms of services, this is an issue that got the florist in trouble. If you're offering to make flowers for people, you can't decide, well, I can make flowers for you and not for you. I mean, what if you were a racist and didn't like black people and decided, okay, I'm going to make flowers, but if you're black, I'm not going to make them.
No,
you
that's can't. Not it. That, it's not. No, no I, then you're
I'm
discriminating.
That's exactly.
It's thought,
examination.
Tom.
Yes.
There is thought behind the creation. There's thought behind the creation. He is not discriminating against gay people or black people or anyone. He's saying, I will not make
he's
something.
Discriminating
that
against
I,
trans, maybe.
No, he's not discriminating against. He's discriminating against an idea. He doesn't want to be forced to promote an idea. It has nothing to do with the individual as a person. It has to do with him and his rights to be able to practice his religion and not promote an idea. That's the difference. It's an idea. It's not an individual that happens to be trans or whatever else.
Yeah, but it's a service that he's offering, and he's not offering it to some people that are protected by
our anti-discrimination laws. He's offering it to absolutely everybody. He's not producing a product that promotes an idea.
Okay.
You don't see the difference between the two?
I mean, I see a distinction, but I think it's a distinction that doesn't carry a lot of weight for if you're trans and can't get people to respond to you, because a lot of people may
you
have
can.
That.
That person could go across the street. She is specifically targeting this guy because she wants to hurt him, Tom, because she doesn't because she's all about
she
diversity, all about diversity and inclusion, but not and tolerance, extremely tolerant people, except intolerant of someone that has an idea that's different from their idea.
We're establishing the length to which discrimination laws can be carried. Yes.
It's not against the individual.
Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us.
Mom, change the station.
Too late, kid.
She's back.
Yeah, she is back. Let's just take care of the fact that we'll talk about cars in a second, but there will be lots of cars at the 4th of July parade, Tom, in Edmonds, because it has been saved thanks to us. Thanks to us.
One of the things that's great about Edmonds is that
the very fact that there'll even be a parade in Edmonds this year is worthy of celebration.
We do warmly welcome people from everywhere.
After all, it was only a few days ago when all this seemed impossible because of a lack of volunteers.
We were sitting at 15 entries for a parade that's normally closer to 100.
City leaders appealed to the community for help, and what followed was an explosion of interest.
Thank you, Tom and Curly.
In just a few days, the number of participants has tripled, with signups happening basically every hour.
We're finding a lot of people that are coming from other communities that had theirs canceled and still wanted to do it.
In the process, business owners like Schubert Ho are getting their drink on.
We have two spiked lemonades, a slushy and a regular.
Schubert has now set up three different lemonade stands around Edmonds, with all the money being donated to make 4th of July 2021 a reality.
It just brings everybody together, and that's what Edmonds is all about.
Last year during COVID, Schubert helped raise $2,500 to prop up Edmonds Chamber of Commerce, and this time around, it's likely to be even more.
Why not do it again and at least raise money so that they can employ their volunteers, employ their staff.
Edmonds, in the middle of this pandemic, propped up by legions of people who love this place no matter what.
For us, it's a nice pat on the back.
There you go. And Tom, this is what it sounded like in 2019.
Gathers Where You Groove is handing out flyers for a free room.
Here comes the Tom and Curly float.
You can come in and check.
There's Jacob and Sean and the two horses, Lady Treasure.
Tom and Marcy Kretzler.
Real crowd favorite.
Those were the days.
Where are we on this? Let's talk to Jacob. Jacob, where are we on the Edmonds Parade float?
I think the last time
we saved it, and then do we have to participate in it, or is it enough just us to talk about it?
I think the last time we talked, we kind of decided that $100 was too large of a fee for any of us to be willing to pay, and then we missed the previous deadline, which was Monday.
Right.
But the problem is they extended the deadline to Friday, so we have another shot.
That you described that as a problem. They've extended it. Did you hear that word, Tom?
I did indeed. He's a sly one, that Jacob.
Yeah, there's a problem. That's a problem. I will pay the $100. I mean, the amount of money I lost on those T-shirts that I was trying to sell at that live thing. Thanks to Cairo. I'm like, I'm going to sell T-shirts. Oh, we have T-shirts left over from another event. I'll sell T-shirts. Well, I'm going to sell my T-shirts since I paid my own money. And they had their stupid T-shirt booth right next to mine at that event, Tom. But I could pay the $100. But, like, do we even have a theme? What do we have?
Right. Well, and we could go through and try to get one of the awards that they give to the floats. I think there are 8 different categories.
Okay, that's what we need. We need something to aim for. We need a goal. We need, what are some of the categories that we could possibly... Because we're not just going to get in this just to get in it. We're not participatory. We are there for victory. Victory. What do we got? Well, what are some of the choices that we could possibly go for?
So the first one is most patriotic, best application of patriotic theme and decorations.
No, when they see Tom, we'll immediately disqualify. What else? What is another one?
Number two is Spirit of 76, best depiction of the spirit of liberty and sacrifice.
Okay. All right.
I'm 67. It's like 76 in reverse.
Okay. We can do that. Hold on. Keep going.
Okay. Right. Number three is most original, unusual design and presentation.
Well, that's got to be us.
We're going to give that to some kid on a bike. Keep going.
Or there's funniest, whimsical in design and presentation.
No, because then you're depending upon people from Edmonds determining what is funny. Okay, is that it? Is that all of our choices?
That there's a mayor's trophy for overall excellence. I really doubt we'd be in the running for that one. Best decorated chamber trophy, which is for businesses, or community service trophy.
Okay. What's the famous photo or the picture of the guy that's playing the flute, another player that's playing the drum? The guy's got like an eye patch. Somebody else has got like a wooden leg. And they're walking, Tom. You know that famous photo,
yeah,
right?
It's a painting.
It's a painting. Sorry.
Yeah, Ansel Adams was there at the moment we became a nation.
You know what I mean? Somebody's got a penny whistle, right?
Yeah.
And then is there something out and somebody's got a flag? Can we find that? Can somebody make a costume? Jacob, get on this. The four of us will do. Sean, what are you doing? Can you do it?
Can I make a costume?
No. Can you be in the thing? Can you play a flute or bang a drum or something?
Oh, yeah. I've got a whole drum kit at my apartment. I can play the drums.
Tom?
Boom.
Here's my idea. Oh, well, if you want that big, if you want that photograph, have someone blow up a big version of it, and they just cut out the holes in the faces like they do at the fairs, and we'll just each of us stick our face in it,
and so we don't have to.
And then carry it. Yeah.
Okay,
well,
that we can do.
There you go.
Okay. Fine. So we don't have to dress up at all. Thank you, Tom. That's perfect. That'll work.
All right, we don't have any. I mean, I suppose, are we all free on the 4th of July? That was the other complication that we had really resolved.
Boom.
Yeah. My other concern, $100 that I understand.
Why don't you dress up as a wet blanket? Go ahead, Jacob. What's your other thing?
The $100. I understand that you're willing to front it, John, but I do feel like I would be the one filling out the application, and then I would put the $100 in expecting for you to reimburse me, but you don't have Venmo, so I don't know how you would go about doing that.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do for you. All right, I'm going to get Ansel Adams to take a picture for you of $100. I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to come down there tomorrow because I'm picking up another dog because I'm out of my mind. I'm getting another dog. And I'll give you the $100, but if you don't enter the thing, I want the money back. All right? Got it?
Okay, right, I think that's a good deal.
All right, good. And here's a picture of your money right there. There you go. It's painted.
And then do we have a vehicle?
What do you mean a vehicle? We don't need a vehicle. We're going to do the thing where our faces are cut out, Tom.
I know, but It's a flow. You can't just walk around downtown with a. I think you have to have the $100. I think it's for the vehicle.
Yeah, I don't even think if it's just we don't even have to apply. We'll just show up at the parade and
show
and get on the end.
Really? And just get in and walk it?
Sure. No, I don't think you can do that. I don't think.
Captures where you grew. Is handing out flyers for a free lift there. You can come in and check out how to brew your own delicious craft beer, cider, or wine. Tom and Marcy Kretzler.
There's like an announcer or something. All right, well, you know, we're back in it again because I don't have any plans for the 4th. Tom, you don't have anything to do. Sean, you don't have any problem getting on a bus, getting stabbed, and getting there to Edmonds, do you?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, good. Tracy's here, looks at traffic for us. Here we go. Do we have time for this? I think we do. Sean? In the remaining moments, apparently you had an experience after getting your second vaccination. You took some time off yesterday because you weren't sure how you'd react to it. You left the horses at home. I'm sure they were well taken care of. And you got on a bus and you took a bus from where to where. And what was that experience like?
Yeah. So heading from downtown Seattle on the D line to Ballard after I get the shot, as you mentioned. And bus was kind of packed. And I go to the back of the bus, sit in the very back corner seat, open up the window, and there's a woman sitting in front of me. Notice she's got a bunch of bags, but, you know, think nothing of it. Mm-hmm. And she sort of looks out the window, down at the seat. So I'm looking at her peripheral. I'm looking at the side of her face. And I hear her whisper, "I'm going to stab you. You're white trash. You stink." And I'm like, "Mom? No." So I'm freaked out, and you know I'm a bus rider, much like Tom. I've seen a lot of things happen, some things directed at me, and I'm not generally one to engage, especially when trapped in the back of a bus. So, but I figure, you know, I'll just give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she just got it out of her system.
Yeah.
So moments later, she slams the window shut, very loud. It turned some heads on the bus. And she just starts proceeding to chew me out, call me white trash, and that I stink. I mean, and as I told Dory earlier, I was wearing some aftershave, so maybe she didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so she's calling me white trash, and I'm deciding I'm not just going to sit here in the back of the bus and just let this woman attack me. I'm going to say some things back to her, which may or may not have been the right thing to do. So, F you. You don't know me. I don't know you. Stop.
Good.
Leave me alone.
Yes.
She goes, and she pretend, you know, that was the warning. She was like, I'm going to, you know, she does that like she's going to spit on me. So when I hold my hand up and say stop, later on she does attempt to spit on me again, but she didn't, I don't think anything came out of her mouth except for expletives. So, you know, during this moment, I have a weapon in my bag, and so I, unbeknownst to her, you know, this guy is like trash, he stinks, and he's like, you know, it's a free country, we're on the bus. Turns out when she finally got off the bus, he got off with her, so they probably knew each other. I'm really glad that this dude didn't stand up and engage with me as well. Apparently, he's just letting his lady friend just kind of get it all out so he doesn't have to deal with it later. But I was pretty freaked out. I'm glad I didn't get stabbed. I'm glad I didn't have to use my weapon on this woman, because I'm sure it would have just escalated the situation. You know, and I don't need to get attacked while I'm trapped in the back of a bus.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the story.
But you felt threatened enough that you were reaching for your weapon, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Have you been in a similar situation, or you've noticed that it was a little worse than before?
This was, I would say, the top situation that I've experienced on the bus that was the most scary to me, because I really didn't feel like I had a way to get out, and I didn't want to brush past her, because who knows if she does have a knife on her. I don't want to brush past her and then have her take that as an excuse to, like, hit me or do something because I brushed past her. So I figured I would just sit back there and yell at the top of my lungs, just like she was, because I just didn't want to sit there and do nothing. So, and I figured if she was going to do something and stab me, perfect opportunity to use my new weapon. So, wow. But I'm glad it worked out the way it did.
So you weren't looking for a fight? Tom, no. would you recommend this behavior to others since you're both bus risers?
I recommend nothing happening. I don't know. Whenever you're on a bus, you always have to gauge the situation. That's right. I'm sure that Sean's done that a million times, and I have too. And occasionally, I mean, it's once in a blue moon, but there are times where you're thinking, yeah, maybe I should take out the next bus or something. I mean, there can be, you know, more than awkward situations. And
and
just
deal
with it as best you can.
And I wasn't looking. Yeah. I wasn't hoping she was going to do anything.
Right,
so then I would use my weapon or whatever. I'm not looking for that. And I generally don't engage, but I felt like I don't want to sit here and just be berated. I might as well fight back verbally or something.
All right. That's your Tracy Taylor.